Good morning. My name is Steve, and I want to welcome you to our Father's house. I'm glad to be with you this morning. I miss being with all of you in person. I love you all and can't wait to see all of you again. Got to see some of you at the march last week, which was great. The prayer walk, fantastic time, but just miss you all. Love you all. Today, Jay started last week on Unity. On this three-part series, Unity, Freedom, and Love. And I want to speak to you about freedom today. Now, when I think of freedom and I think of July 4th, my mind goes back to 1976. Yeah, it's a lot while back. It was the bicentennial year. And remember, everything was red, white, and blue. And I was excited. I don't know how I was picked, but I was picked to be part of a parade and be on this float. And I was excited about that. I always loved parades because whenever we had a parade in Beecher, Illinois, they would throw candy out and I couldn't wait to get a hold of that candy. So I was like, hey, this is great. I'm going to be part of the parade. I'm going to get to throw candy. So we went out to the parade and it was a great time, except I had these blue pants, white shirt, and I believe a red vest and a skimmer hat with a red, white, and blue trim. And I got there and found out that I had the wrong color shoes on. I didn't know there was supposed to be a color shoes, or if I did, I didn't have it. So anyway, I got told, hey, you got the wrong color shoes on. Okay. Then during the parade, I got in trouble because I kept taking off that skimmer hat because this thing was stupid hot. It was blazing out there that day. And that little styrofoam hat just was melting to my head. Put that back on, Steve. Put that back on, Steve. Steve, put your hat back on. Then the big kerfuffle happened. And that was the fact that about three quarters of the way through the parade, it dawned on me. I'm throwing candy this year. I'm not getting any candy this year. That's a problem. I would love picking up the candy from the parade. So as we were ending up, I was throwing some and sticking some in my pocket. Throwing some, sticking some in my pocket. Throwing some. You get the point. And I got into a wee bit of trouble from all that. And you could say I was a troublemaker at the time, but I got in trouble for taking candy. And I realized as a 10-year-old, I didn't have the freedom to do whatever I want, or the freedom to be who I thought I was supposed to be as a 10-year-old. And that was a 10-year-old who did not need to wear a hat, a 10-year-old did not need to wear the right pair of shoes, and a 10-year-old who needed to keep the candy. You ever feel that way in your life, that you're really not free to be who you think you should be? Now, I want to share something with you today, and I hope it just brings you a lot of hope today, and it brings you a lot of freedom. And that is the truth, that Christ has come to set us free. He tells us in Romans 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But a big event happened with Jesus. Shortly after his temptation, his ministry was beginning, he went to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And it was a custom there for people to get a scroll, and whoever was the guest that day could gets to read from the scroll. And they chose Jesus to read from the scroll. And they gave him the scroll of Isaiah, which was not by accident. God had set it up for that to happen that day. And then he read this statement from Isaiah 61. It says in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 17 through 19. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." To set liberty, proclaim liberty to captives, to set liberty those who are oppressed. And then in verse 20 says, and he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And now, that kind of shocked them. He said, today, this has been fulfilled? And Jesus says, yeah, this is fulfilled today in your hearing. Now, the amazing thing about this is that Jesus says, liberty has been proclaimed to those who are oppressed. The captives have been set free. So I want to talk a little bit about what oppresses us and how we get freedom from it. Now, if you look back over and you turn to 2 Peter chapter 9, it tells us something about what oppresses us, what enslaves us. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, he's talking about false prophets, and he says in verse 19, they promise him freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. Then he says, for whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. And the word overcome there is interesting. It's a word that means to make less, to make inferior, to be forced to yield. Now, he tells them that corruption has overcome them, and that is what has made them less. It is what has made them inferior. It is what has brought them down. And we go back to the Garden of Eden. And isn't it amazing how often we go back to the Garden of Eden? And in the garden, we are told that Adam and Eve believed the lie of Satan. And when they believed the lie of Satan, ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of a sudden, they were made less. They were made less than what God had created them to be. God had created them to have authority. God had created them to have dominion over all the earth. God had made them to be heirs of the earth and to rule and reign the earth. And as soon as they ate that fruit, everything was diminished. They became less than what God had created them to be. You see, sin always does that. Sin always makes us less than what God has created us to be. See, God created us in his imago Dei, in his images, and he wants us to walk in that image. He wants us to walk in that authority. He wants us to walk in dominion over sin, and he wants us to have dominion over the earth, and he wants us to walk as his children, but sin makes us less. Sin overcomes us. Sin diminishes us. It makes us inferior. Sin takes away sonship. Sin prevents us from being the father who we want to be, the mother who we want to be, the son we want to be, the daughter we want to be. The very person God created us to be gets diminished, made less because of sin. But Jesus said he came to set the captives free. He said he came to proclaim liberty to those who were oppressed. So that's the exciting thing. In Romans 6:22, it also tells us, but now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. We have been set free from sin. Now, Jesus came to earth to die, to live the life we could not live, to die the death that we deserve, to set us free from sin, free from death. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to be free, to be all that God has created us to be. But our own sin makes us less. But there's something else that diminishes us, and something else that wants to make us feel inferior, or can make us feel inferior. And that is when we are sinned against. When we are sinned against, it makes us feel less. Whenever somebody steals from you, it takes away the feeling that you had that something was yours, but now it's gone. And your security is just stripped from you when things are stolen. I know people whose their house was burglarized, and afterwards their whole sense of security was just destroyed because they were sinned against, and all of a sudden they were made to feel less. If someone is sexually abused, and if you've been, that's just awful because it makes you feel less of a person. It makes you feel as somebody who is not worthy of something. And that's what sin does. Sin oppresses us. Sin overcomes us and makes us feel less. It makes us feel inferior. It overcomes our being. But God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to have this freedom over these things. You see, when Jesus came, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he says, "I'm going to proclaim this good news." Proclaim what? The liberty to the captives, freedom to the oppressed. God wants to give us that freedom, and he wants to give it to us by receiving his Son, Jesus Christ, and also by the filling of the Spirit. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God so desires for us to walk in that freedom, to walk in how we were originally designed to walk in the imago Dei, the image of God. You see, God is free from all sin, and he wants us to walk in that freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom over sin. You are no longer slaves to sin. Remember what it tells us in Romans 6:22, but we are now free from that sin. It is not to have dominion over us anymore. It is not to overcome us. For whatever overcomes a person, he's enslaved to it. God says, nothing can overcome us anymore because we are now in Jesus Christ. We are now the overcomers according to Romans chapter 8. Think about that. Things don't overcome us. We overcome things. Sin doesn't overcome me. I overcome sin. Another freedom we have is freedom from death. Freedom from the fear of death. Hebrews talks about the fact that people walked around as slaves because they were afraid of death. Nothing can bring a person to their knees faster than the fear of death. We will give up our rights so quickly because of a fear of death. But God says we do not need to fear death. Death has no sting. Death has no victory over us anymore, according to 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And he's quoting from the Old Testament there. And that is the truth. We no longer need to be overcome by the fear of death. Death needs to fear us because we have complete victory over sin. And we have complete victory over death in Jesus Christ. We are the overcomers. Freedom. We also have the freedom over what people or who people think we are. It's so easy to get oppressed when people begin to call you a certain thing, a certain name. I don't know what that name is. It may be stupid. It may be dumb. It may be ugly. It may be lazy. It may be, I can't think of it, but you know what you're called. Isn't that brilliant? You know what you are called, and people call you certain things, and they make you feel overcome, like you almost have to become that to meet their expectations of who they are calling you, of who they think you are. But God says we're not pigeonholed by what other people think we are. We are who God says we are. We, or as the song says, I am who you say that I am. You have given me the authority to be an overcomer, the authority to walk in freedom in Jesus Christ, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, and if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, His Spirit indwells us, and His Spirit overcomes us, and His Spirit gives us freedom to be free from what people call us. I'm not going to be pigeonholed anymore by what people or who people say that I am, because I am who God says I am. We also have the freedom to be, to forgive. We also have the freedom to forgive. Because what overcomes a person, he's enslaved to it. And if I'm overcome by unforgiveness, if I'm overcome by bitterness towards somebody, that's my prison. I'm enslaved to that unforgiveness. I'm enslaved to that bitterness. And God doesn't want me to be there. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. He came to proclaim freedom to the oppressed. He doesn't want us to walk in that unforgiveness or that bitterness, because He knows that that causes us to be in our own prison. He calls us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Jesus has set the stage. Jesus forgave those who crucified Him on the cross. Now you may be saying, Steve, you don't know what those people did. Did they crucify you to a cross? Did they beat you? Did they whip you and strip your flesh off? You may say, yes, they did. Well, guess what? Jesus forgave those who did that to Him. And He wants you to forgive those who have wronged you. He says, we've been freely given this forgiveness, and we need to freely give it away. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is that freedom to forgive. That's why Jesus came. He came to give us this liberty, this freedom. And He says, give it away. Give that forgiveness away. So therefore, you are not bound by unforgiveness. You are not bound by bitterness. But you can be free from all of that in Jesus Christ. You can walk in how God has saved you. You see, we live in a fallen world. And sometimes life just falls right on us. And it hurts. Because sometimes things happen, not because we sin, and not because somebody sinned against us. It just happens because we live in a fallen world. I mean, your house gets termites. Whose fault is that? A storm comes through and wrecks your crops. Whose fault is that? You're driving down the road and your tire blows out. Whose fault is that? Your child is born and something's not right. Whose fault is that? Sometimes we live in a fallen world and the world falls right on us. And it can cause us to become bitter. But God gives us the freedom to overcome the bitterness with thanksgiving. He tells us, in everything, give thanks. In everything. He tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. God wants us to walk in that rejoicing. God wants us to walk in that thankfulness. Why? He wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to be free from the bondage of bitterness. Because whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. And God doesn't call us to be slaves to these things. He calls us to be overcomers. And God also, he gives us all this so that we can have the freedom to be who God has called us to be. The freedom to be who God has called us to be. You see, whenever sin hangs over us, our sin, or whenever we allow the shame or the guilt or the bitterness or the unforgiveness from the sin that people do against us, or whether we are just tired of living in this fallen world and we are just becoming grumpy and bitter about life, we're not being who God has called us to be. And God gives us this freedom to be who he has called us to be, to walk in joy. Matter of fact, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God says, that's the freedom I want to give you. I want to give you the freedom to walk in this beautiful, beautiful fruit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The love of Christ has made us, according to Romans 8, overcomers of all these things. We can be victorious. That is what God is calling for you today. God is calling you to be victorious. God is calling you to walk in this freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know where you are today, but I know this, that Jesus said these words were fulfilled. The words where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now Jesus said, as he was passing the torch on, he told the disciples, and through telling the disciples, he also told us, that we are to continue. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. This is what God has called me to do and to be, and what he's called you to do and to be. He's called you to set me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So today, I want to do that with you. I want to pray with you that one, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would just confess your sins to him and say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you paid the price for all my sin. And I believe that you rose again 3 days later. And it's that simple. It's just trusting Christ. And if you trust Christ today, I proclaim that you are free from your sins. You are free from the power of sin. You are free from the consequences of sin. Meaning you will not suffer eternal death, but you will have eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm proclaiming that to you today. And then today, too, if you've been oppressed by any of these things we talked about, whether your own sin or whether you've been oppressed by the sin of others, or even the big one, if you've been oppressed by religion, which says you have to do all these things in order to be accepted by God. And if you don't meet the rules, you're never going to get into heaven. How good is good enough? God said to the thief on the cross, who was nothing but a scoundrel and a thief and had done nothing that we know of worthy of eternal life. Jesus says to him on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. You talk about blowing religion out of the water. Religion says you must do something to be accepted. Christianity, true Christianity, says it's been done in Jesus Christ. It's all done. It's all finished. Trust him. Just as the thief, and Jesus said to the thief today, you'll be with me in paradise. God wants you to be with him. God wants you to spend all eternity with him. God doesn't want you to be bound or enslaved by sin or by the consequences of other people's sin or even from this fallen world, because he's going to make it all new one day. Jesus wants you to be an overcomer. So I pray that you trusted him. And if you do trust him today, if you pray that prayer, just simply trusting him, let us know. Write us. Put it in the comments. Say, hey, yes, this is what I want freedom from. This is what I want freedom from. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, whatever you are struggling, write in the responses. Pray for me. I want freedom from. I need freedom from. And proclaim it. Our job as believers is to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And this morning, whatever it is you need liberty from, whatever has been oppressing you, whatever has been making you feel less than, whatever has been making you feel inferior and less than a child of God who has authority, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you will be set free. And that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. The Spirit of the Lord will overcome you. And you will be at complete liberty in Jesus Christ. That which has overcome you, that which has bound you, would not be sin anymore, but it would be the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. That we would be overcome with the Lord. And that we would be slaves to him, to be all that he has created us to be, that we would have the true freedom in Jesus Christ. And I proclaim that over myself today. I proclaim that over you today. In Jesus' name. I'm so glad you were with us today. I'm so excited about what God says. I'm so excited about what God is doing in my life, and what God is doing in your life. May today you walk in that freedom in Jesus Christ. And as we all walk in that freedom, become who God has made us to be, what a difference we'll make in this world. Because we will be proclaiming liberty to captives. They no longer need to walk in bitterness or unforgiveness or shame or guilt, but there can be free in Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.